You are welcome to the Niger Filmmaker, a podcast about Nigerian filmmakers, their films, and how we can build a diverse and functional industry. I'm your host, Selegot.
On this episode, I talk about my debut feature film, Charlie and the Boys, ahead of its release in the Francophone markets. I talk with three cast and crew members about what went on behind the scenes and the effort that went into putting this film together.
If you're a new listener, you're welcome and I hope you enjoy. Welcome back to the Niger Filmmaker. On this very special episode, I have three guests with me, and we're going to be talking about the movie Charlie and the Boys. So I'll allow my guests to introduce themselves briefly.
Hi, thank you for having me. My name is Omaka Chikese. I'm a writer, director. For Charlie and the Boys, I worked as a scriptwriter.
Yeah, my name is Loud Voice. I'm a stand-up comedian and I'm also an actor. For Charlie and the Boys, I played the role of Badmus.
Hello, my name is Frederick, and I'm one of the executive producers and also an actor in Charlie and the Boys, playing the role of Bulton.
And this is your friendly host, Selegot. I was the producer, director, editor, and some other unspoken things that I did on this movie. So yeah, here we are. We're here to talk about the film. I'll start with Amaka. Amaka, we started development for this film in, I think, 2020. On behalf of the team, I approached you and we talked about kind of what we wanted to achieve with this script. So for you, how was that process for you? Kind of taking in a way, our brief and I guess fleshing out these Nigerian characters that exist in the world of Charlie and the Boys.
First of all, I had an incredible material to work with. The Johnson Ligan, it was an incredible movie, great storyline. And the good thing about the film was that just watching it for the first time, I already know how you can place Nigerian situations within. Just carry those guys and change everything. I laugh every time I think about it. But then also, there's this thing about working with people who know what they want. So I feel like that was what what I got from the interaction, from your notes, is that this is what we want to do. And from the beginning till the end, I was working with that. So my initial thought was that I had an incredible material one, and that I was working with people who knew what they wanted.
Okay. So, Cedric, this is the first time you're investing in a film.
Yes.
What made you want to, put your money behind the movie? Tell us that story.
Well, it was a burst of passion, I would say. We always loved that movie when we were kids, and it's continuously popular. So we kind of grew up with Jens Saligan, and since with our Nigerian connects, we figured that it was a good idea to do a Nollywood movie. We had no idea what we got ourselves into, the challenges that were coupled to it, but we're proud of what we achieved in the end, and we're looking forward to more.
Okay, and before actually, would I say doing the transfer of some funds, what were some of your reservations?
No, we didn't have any. We just enjoyed the process.
So just pure passion.
Yeah.
The money was going to go anyway.
We don't see problems. We see solutions.
Okay. Loud Voice, I can remember that we auditioned for your role and I put you through the ringer. So can you talk about that?
That particular day, it was actually, I saw it as one of those auditions initially, when he said, okay, can you read this script? I did. Then at the point he said, what do you do? I said, I'm a stand-up comedian. He said, okay, can you make us laugh? You know, that's actually the toughest part for a stand-up comedian. Two people sitting down telling you, make us laugh. They know that their job is to ensure that you don't make them laugh, you know. At that point, I felt like tickling him so that he would actually laugh, but he was a bit far from me, you know. We did our best, and I was just like, okay, if they call, fine. If they don't call, fine. And he said, I'll get back to you. And that's the word I don't like.
Mm-hmm.
In Nigeria, when they tell you I'll get back to you, just forget about it. Go and start looking for another work. That's how it is in Nigeria. You know, he said, we'll get back to you. Instantly, I told him, oh God, is it the real get back to me, or you will truly get back to me, or the other get back to me? He started laughing. He said, we'll get back to you. So I left. And days passed, should I say weeks passed, I didn't hear anything. So I just saw it as one of those things, I'll get back to you, one of the I'll get back to yous. Then on one fateful day, I got a call, and they were telling me, okay, you've been casted for a particular role. I've not even seen the script. I said, okay, because me, I'm more of a stage person, I'm a stand-up comedian, but I love acting. I have passion for acting. If they wake me up today and say, we are traveling now, there's a movie we need to shoot, I wouldn't mind, you know, packing my bags and start just joining the train. You understand? So for movie, money is not my driving force. Money is actually not my driving force. It is passion. For comedy, I love comedy, but that's what pays my bills. So I charge well for it. For movies, I'll just say, okay, what role is it? Okay, let's go. I just enjoy. So when I was called, the day I knew that, okay, maybe God was actually interested in me playing that particular role, that period I was planning for my show, they called. They said, we are starting shooting on the 18th of October. I can never forget. 18th October, are you available? Instantly I said, yes. Why? Because my show was scheduled for 17th of October. So I just knew that, okay, God wanted me to be a part of this. Before it, if the stuff had come before my show, it would have been difficult for me because the preparation for my show is actually tedious, so I wouldn't have left it, you know, to go and do something else as at that particular point. So when they said 18th, I didn't even sleep. After 17th, after the show, the next day, as at 7 a.m., I was already at the location. So that's it for me. Thank you.
Okay. And yeah, Frederick, this was your first acting role. Did you act when you were in school? Did you do any of that?
No. Well, during university, you act every time you go up for an oral exam, I guess.
Yeah.
But no acting experience.
So how was that?
I have very good teachers in Loud Voice and Sheyun and Kanayo.
Yeah.
To give us some tips on what we should do.
Yeah. It's one thing to get tips, and then it's another thing to apply it. So were you always like kind of tense when the camera was rolling?
No, it was so intense. It was like, okay, go do this. We did it. Okay, next. You know, so you didn't have time to think. It's when you think you get nervous.
Yeah. Okay.
It was a good experience.
Yeah. So Amaka, what should audiences expect from these characters? Like, I mean, we watch films, and sometimes some characters are undercooked, some characters are unrealistic. Like, what's so special about the characters in Charlie and the Boys?
One of the first things we made sure of is that everyone in the story world, with Charlie's story world, fits our Nigerian reality. So it takes one to tell their own stories. So when you watch Charlie and the Boys, you're going to see that they are just your regular old Nigerians and just going through, and they're not just one dimensional, because you have bad ones who on the surface level feels like doesn't know anything, right? But then this is a boy who is trying to reconcile with his father, whatever idea he has with his father, and looking up to Charlie. Everybody had their own backstories. Which is literally how I want, even I hope we see ourselves. Like, when you see people, don't judge them or face them. There are things that happen that you can, when you get to know someone. And what we did with the story is that we made sure that by the end of the story, the audience will have gotten to know this person and can find their neighbors, their friends, their brothers, their uncles, their aunties within this everyone who populated the Charlie and the Boys story world.
Okay,
I remember from the initial script that we didn't agree on one point, and that was the people who Bulten and Veslan. That came flying into Nigeria to purchase this. Initially, I think you wrote them as Nigerians.
Yeah, because I like most what's happening now with the film is, I mean, there's a whole awakening with Africans and how before is when you see a film with Africans and a white man. Like the person is coming to save the African. Now, the awakening is that when you see a black, so the person is the villain. So now Africans are now, like our generation of storytellers are now saying, oh, the West, the white man has been our problem, and this, that, that. So I didn't want that to be at play, because I feel like Nigerians can also be problems of Nigerians, as I have experienced. So if I want to write a story about the devil right now, I'll make both Jesus and the devil black people. Do you get what I'm saying? As opposed to why is devil black and why I'm just saying. So that was what I was arguing. But then I didn't develop any of that in isolation, so I had Sele to argue with. There's always a fight. I know the story feels like, oh, me and Sele, before we ever create something, there's always this thing. I'm like, no, why? It doesn't make sense to me. And then he's like, no, I have to think about this. But then, as a writer, I've learned over time to not be too passionate about my story and also to understand that the director and the others, there are factors that are beyond me who is writing in terms of even casting and just factors. Yeah, imagine we have to use Heineken. I'm like, there's no place in the story for us to put Heineken. Well, Heineken brought money for the film. Heineken brought money for the film. And do you understand what I'm saying? So, or we have to use a brush or something. It might not fit. How do we make it fit?
Mm.
So these are things that writers hate to be told. Like, we just want to go into our imagination and bring helicopter here, and someone flying with wings here, and then the producers and the EPS say, we can't afford this. Or we have to shoot it here because these people did this and it first. So those are things I know that I disagree. And then also with I think there was this bit I think it was after the fact you told me or before.
Hmm.
About the, was it the girls?
Which girls?
They were going to be fine girls at the helicopter this time.
Okay, yeah. These guys were going to fly with fine girls.
Why? And I was away. I was on a different set. I was like, no. So I said, it's done. No. So I didn't.
Did you eventually flee with the girls?
No. We only got one from seven.
So maybe I intentionally frustrated you.
So what? I didn't know where that could go. But then I also believe that the director sees beyond every other person on on a project. So he says he wants it, and I try my best to convince him otherwise. I'm so sure. Because that's the thing, we are relying on the director to bring whatever vision all of us have.
We felt that our job with Sele as executive producers and so on was more giving him stupid ideas. And having him say no.
Yeah, and I had to deal with a lot of that.
Yeah, also like even with some notes that we would get from me, and then I remember Sela would be like, okay, so don't worry about the songs. I read everything. He would not say, I know you're going to say something about this one. Don't worry, I've already dealt with it. Don't worry. But there's this thing, you subtitled the Joseph Regan.
Yes, I
it was one of the funniest things because there was these beats. That was when I came up with the chief's character. That's Sani Morris's character.
Mm.
He said the So it was so funny, the translation. Like, think about Dangote, the Dangote of, so like, they were talking, and I'm like, what's Dangote's name doing inside this? But I got the idea, like, this was supposed to be, like, a very...
I was the one translating the whole movie.
Yeah.
It's called Night Sonnet.
Who wrote this thing? And that helped me, because in your scene, seeing the Dangote, just mentioning Dangote just drove home the point.
Yeah.
I knew what you were trying to say just from that name, or who you wanted me to
portray.
Mm. So that helped. So you was not only helped. And also
I'm putting,
like,
scriptwriter to my.
Yes. Yeah. You could also sense, and because now, I'm not saying I've blown, but one of the things I look out for in people who give me stories to write is how does this person love storytelling? So if you enjoy storytelling, I know that I'll have a few days even arguing with you about what's right and what's wrong and passing off ideas. Because sometimes it's, at some point, if you're the one bringing the money, I'm defeated already. There's already this top, bottom, this thing. I'm not going to, if I insist, then you can change it. Or if you carry the script I've written and give it to someone else to do the same thing you wanted to do. But knowing that people you're working with actually love, first of all, have integrity, love what they are, love storytelling, and they understand the importance of story in film. So, yeah.
Okay. So Loud Voice, I'm sure, like, this film, you had, like, significant number of lines. When you were preparing for it, like, was it kind of like a walk in the park for you, or you had to, you know, kind of learn new things?
Is that the day a man will say, I finished learning, that he becomes the most foolish person on earth? I will see it as a learning process. I learned new things, you know. So, but when you have a good director and not a shouting type, it also goes a long way to help. Because I told Mr. Seller that this is the first time I'll actually be working with a director that doesn't shout.
Mm.
Yes, all the directors I've worked with, both stage plays. In fact, one of my stage play director, one play I did one time, the guy is hypertensive now because of too many shouts.
Seller controls people with his hand.
I'm telling you, you know, he was so calm. You know, he thought, okay, do it like this. And I was already coming from a production or the show I just finished shooting, and I was already stressed. If he had shouted at me at that particular point, maybe it wouldn't help my character. Mm. So the way he handled everything also helped the character.
I mean, so let's talk about crew members or directors that shout. Did they bring out the best in you?
Everybody is unique in their ways, okay? Everybody is unique in their ways. One thing I've learned in life is, as a leader, or let me use the word, as a teacher, every student in your class, they are not the same. There are some you will shout on and they will get to work immediately. There are some you will shout on, they will just go into their shell. They will not be able to learn. So it's just to understand, you know, the people you're dealing with, understand everybody that you're working with. Know their temperament, know, okay, how do I manage this person? Do you understand? Uh-huh. So, like I said, I was already, somebody like me, I was already used to it, being shouted on, you know?
For me, as an outsider, isn't that part of Nigeria? there's a lot of noise.
No, there's normal. The one you think is shouting probably normal Nigerian. What he's talking about?
She understands.
No, but this is the thing. Coming from Amadeji, my day job.
I know you've shouted a lot.
So when I hear, but I also understand that, because when I'm directing, I do not yell. But something you said, cause there are people that, if you don't assert to that voice, trust me, there are also people on set who took advantage of the fact that Sele doesn't shout and they're misbehaving. I'm sure if I was there, I can point out the people that did that. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's that's why most directors, even ADs, they after they yell, they come back like, oh God, we hate it. But you have to sometimes, especially with, you're working with people who are like 100 days older than you. and who knows better than you. And always want to tell you, yes, who knows better than you, who has been in the industry before your parents met. Who do you think you are commanding me? Who knows? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
They're the ones that even formed Nollywood. they would, because of those people. I know a set where a first time director was on set. I was ADing, and I mean, I won't call the name of the actor, but then, like, say the director, he thinks that was a good cut. No, you don't understand. An actor is telling the director who wants another take that's like he thinks. All of us on set were like, yo, whoa. Like, if you knew, you would know that nobody calls the scene on unless the director says his thing. If the director wants another take, you have to give another take. No matter how everybody's tired and you roll your eyes and be like, oh, this director. But then, because you're not the one that will sit down with them at the end of the street when they are still crying, oh, we didn't get that shot. Oh, we didn't get that shot and stuff like that. So it's, I get the shot. I mean, like, I probably, if I was on set, I'd probably shouted on behalf of Sela. Like,
next time we get an enforcer to Sela.
I know, shout.
Yeah.
But I understand what you mean, because it can be refreshing as well. So
yeah.
Just not yell for the sake of it. Some people yell for the
sake
of it.
Yeah, for the sake of it. They just want, you know, that attention to be, I'm the director, I'm in control. Yeah, you don't have to shout to be in control. That's
everybody knows,
point.
You're the director.
Yeah.
You can't
you're
years
the
old,
director.
Everybody knows you're the director.
You're the director, you're the director. So
no, I have a question for Sela. This is your first feature.
Yeah.
So you went to film school, you've seen all. What showed you shake? I mean, I don't want to use though. I don't know how people can understand. Like, what was it that made you
realize? The English part,
the
English that is shaggy.
Shaggy. I don't know what shaggy means.
No.
Okay, no, let me use a real word. What made you, like, literally, you know these things they say, when you've attended film school, you know all of these things in theory. And what made you realize that, yo, this is it, this is the actual school. The lessons you learned on set that made you feel like a novice, that someone that haven't even...
I think it's already a particular actor, you know, wasted the half of a day, and we paid like premium bucks to be at this location, and you know, we're basically running against time because the actors in that scene were going to disintegrate after that day, and I mean, it was probably going to, you know, cost us like a lot of money to assemble everybody again. So I mean, I think that was the day that we were probably under stress. That was the day we closed the latest, like 12 midnight, which is not the normal Nollywood experience for most people, you know. But I'll say the biggest shaggy I experienced on this film is kind of just getting the movie out, you know. There's no respect for first-timers in this industry, you know. Again, like, I'm this kind of person, I read a lot, so, you know, textbook stuff, I went to film school, you know, they tell you stuff. There was this particular distributor, before we shot the film, we went to kind of introduce ourselves, this is the movie we're trying to make, you know, we're introducing this thing to you, so that when the film is ready, you know, we'll continue the conversation. And, you know, like, with distributors, they have different packages where, like, it's either they are co-producing with you or, you know, there are different options for you. So even with us kind of briefing them about the projects, they were already like kind of you know, saying, oh, this thing you're doing, are you sure you can pull it off, that kind of thing. I'm looking forward to the day that, you know, Nollywood and the film industry, you know, you just judge like kind of production houses, production teams based on their track record, you know. Of course, for us, we didn't have any. But even after the film came out, I think there's like a lot of prescriptive stuff, like, oh, you must have 7 A-list actors, like, because they'll pull their individual fan bases to the cinema. But I think what we're seeing now, like, I think the audience wants something fresh. they know this formulaic stuff and they are tired of it. They are so-called big films that have failed, you know. I feel for us, like, even in terms of the country, you know, growing what we're doing and also on the international scene, I think it will do better for us if we work kind of based on merit, you know. It can be a very small, inexperienced team, but they made a great film. You know, just give them the break that they need, the backing that they need, and, you know, these films will travel because, again, they have kind of passed a test that, you know, they're actually solid films. In this life, there's no shortcuts, really. As an industry, we need to look inside. Because the thing is, even with the way everything works right now, there are people that have given up and, you know, have lost that voice forever.
Did you feel like giving up at any point?
He was not allowed.
I was not allowed, but, I mean, I was mentally tired, you know.
Drained.
So, people ask me, how do I feel? I mean, for me, like, I have grand ambitions, you know, so for me, it's kind of like, okay, I'm climbing Kilimanjaro, I'm climbing Everest, and I just finished climbing Twin Peaks in Abuja. You know, it's a kind of small achievement in what I'm trying to do. You know, like, I'm happy that, you know, I've made that progress and all. I think, yeah, I'm just excited to put back what I've learned from this film, like, put it back into another film and just basically keep changing all these parameters, and even with, you know, handling actors and structuring projects, strategizing, you know, release windows and all that stuff. Like, I'm just excited to, you know, do that on another film. You can never, like, no matter how many books I wanted to read, like, the experience I had, yeah, I was still going to have it, you know. You can't, like, have a perfect first, this thing. I mean, this is how my story starts. Let's see where I go to, but, you know. I'm grateful for the team I had, you know, from, you know, development on the executive producing side. You know, do you think I'm good at persuading you guys about stuff?
I think so.
Yeah, explaining.
I remember the when we got the idea to do a movie at all. We were sitting on a plane between Stockholm to Turkey to go to Lagos, and my friend saw that the invitation company was Koritsu Entertainment, your entertainment company, yeah, on the visa. He was like, what's this? Why are we getting invited by Koritsu Entertainment? And so I told the story about Sada, that he just finished film school and was back in Nigeria to start making his way into Nollywood. And then we just agreed on, yeah, let's do this movie. So we shook on it, and then we told Sada to come down to Lagos and meet us. And the rest is history, as
yeah,
they say.
Yeah, I remember, what time did you guys land? But I know that this is our so-called meeting. We had it like at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And what I did was, so at that time, 2020, I think Cinema Exhibitors Association started publishing figures on what films were making. So I just went to this website. I looked at the least amount of money a particular film made. So they're like asking, oh, how much do you think we'll need for this film? And I mean, it's first time, you don't want to go and spend $100 million, you know, you start it small. So I think I gave them, like, based on the box office that week, I gave them the least amount of money, but I'm sure we surpassed that.
We surpassed it a bit.
Long time ago.
but yeah. For us, it was not about the finance part of it. It was more that we're going to make this movie because we really want to do it. Now we're working on that other part.
Yeah.
But we managed to get into the end game now.
Yeah. So, yeah, look out for the film.
Landlords, what did you think about Bad News? I know you probably answer this question.
I love them. About it. Sorry.
You love Bad Moss?
Yeah.
Bad Moss is actually one character I didn't like. Yeah, because it was more or less like a different person from the kind of person I am. So I ended up liking the character because I saw myself playing what I wouldn't have loved to play till I die. You understand? This mommy's boy thing in quotes, you know? From the outside, I never liked it. So when I saw myself playing it, then I went back home, I was looking at the character. Sometimes I would just ask myself some questions. Am I sure I'm okay? Am I sure I won't get home and start calling my mom? You know, hello mommy, I'm hungry, you know? I know. You know, so it was a challenging character and it was a very beautiful one at that. So I just hope people fall in love or like the character at the end of the day, you know? But that's not the real meal.
So yeah, there's this tradition on my podcast. I always ask my guests to say three random things about themselves. Who's ready?
Ready, ready.
So like, let's get to know you better.
Well, three random things.
Yeah.
Well, doctor, actor, and...
What kind of doctor are you? And medical, we already know your
Oh no, I'm a traditional bone setter, but with a license. So I'm an orthopedic surgeon.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. So
I mean, we already know you're an actor, so please tell us something else that we don't know.
Well, I'm Nigerian in disguise, I would say.
Yeah.
I love coming here, and it's refreshing to see the life in people and the energy that everyone have. When you go out on the streets and see this country. I know it's always a different mindset if you live here compared if you come in. But for me, it's very enjoyable. I've been coming the last around 15 years, I think. So I've gotten to see a lot of the country and the people. And now also Nollywood. So
yeah. So what's your favorite Nigerian food?
Suya, I would say. Jollof rice, of course.
Yeah.
It's not Ghanaian and jollof.
Yes, we have to.
Definitely. No, there's only one jollof. You don't have to say it. There's only Nigerian jollof.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And, as an actor, is there any Nollywood actor that you're looking forward to working with?
Not really. It's more, I just enjoy it.
Okay, so, anybody you enjoy? Well, but you don't have any wish
list. I don't have so much experience, but the guys and ladies in this movie was amazing.
Okay. All right, loud voice, three random things that not many people know.
Swedish.
Yeah, Swedish? What's the capital of Sweden?
If I tell you now, it's like me exposing our country. My president might not be happy about it.
Are you sure you have a president?
Well, prime minister.
We have a prime minister. Of course, we have a prime minister. Bola Ahmed Tinubu. Okay, three random things. I love traveling. I love traveling a lot. I love acting because people know me as a comedian. But I love acting, If tomorrow, Dan Gusti, you see, we're having another project, I'll just leave whatever I'm doing, I'll just jump on it.
Mm.
I love acting so much. That's another thing. My favorite Swedish food is Swedish jollof.
It's good.
Boy, Frederick, what do you think? What Swedish dish would Nigerians like? What do you
they
think?
They should try surströmming.
What do you call it?
It's rotten fish.
Why is it actually rotten?
Yeah. Well,
but why do you guys eat it?
I don't.
Okay. But other people eat it.
It would be a comedy show in itself, just filming.
Mm.
Glad we see trying it. I'll bring some next time.
Yeah. So did you say 3 things, loud voice?
Yes, I said 3 things.
Okay, Amaka.
Do random things. In as much as I work in film, I don't like people like that. I could stay indoors without human interaction and not even think about it. I do not have FOMO. It's not something that I've been worried about. I do not have a fear of missing out. That's two. The third one is that I like food.
You like food?
Food more than people think I do. So I eat. I just eat.
What's your comfort food?
My comfort food.
Sugar.
Anything that has sugar.
Pure refined sugar.
No, food that, my comfort food is food that I don't have to stress about. So, anybody that gives me food, I just eat. Comfort food. Just biscuits, probably.
Yeah.
Anything that has sugar inside.
Okay. So, it's now my turn.
Yeah.
I wanted to escape. Let's see. Random facts. I mean, I've already used some on this podcast before. But for...
You hate actors, you hate executive producers and scriptwriters.
Yeah, I love humanity, I love people. But yeah, I think, yeah, I've gone skydiving before. Pretty much changed my outlook on life. I think that's why... So like... You know, you're there, you just jump out of the plane. So, like, my own skydiving experience, I was the first. So, I was the last to enter, first to come out. So, for a long while, I was just hanging attached to the other, like, instructor. So, you know, jumping out, seeing how small everything is. So, I shouldn't kind of be losing sleep over, you know, minor kind of distractions or interruptions, that kind of thing. So, I think that's where my zen comes from, really. Like, nobody's going to touch that kind of thing. So that's one. The second one is I tend to like songs that are not in English. So currently, and this song has been my favorite for 3 years. It actually does not mean anything. It's Osama by Ziggs Bertwini, and everybody around me knows. Everybody has moved on to new favorite songs, but I'm still there. And I think why I love that song is it's kind of like a blank slate. Like, so the person was pretty much speaking in tongues, and it has a good feel. It has this happy energy to it, and yeah, let's see whether for the next 3 years it will still be my favorite. I suspect. The last fact is that I'm a budding tech bro, you know? So maybe one day I'll mix film and tech. Watch out.
Yeah, he's coming.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'll jump to my other traditional question I ask. If you are stuck on an island and you had to watch one movie over and over again, which movie would that be? It can be a movie or a TV series, but basically just that one.
Me, I watch Charlie and the Boys. I put it on repeat.
Okay.
You took
why?
Me.
Why? What about Charlie and the Boys?
This is the first time I was speaking first, so I quickly, because I know somebody who wants to say it, so I have to change my own option. Charlie and the Boys.
Okay.
Well, since you took that one, I will go with probably Narcos, the series, all of them.
Why do you wish to
there's a lot of
live
so
in
you
that
can
world
start
or
from the from the top and finish and forgotten the first
yeah,
one?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Maka is thinking already. What will I see?
I can
hear
it. This the problem, but I would go with Golden Girls. It's an 80s TV show. Yeah, it's the satirical show about just commentary. So, and it's comedic. It's a sitcom, so at least I would laugh. If I'm stuck in the desert, before I die, I would laugh. So, Golden Girls, that's my pick.
So, me, I'm a Nolan fanboy. But, I mean, I can easily pick a Nolan film to watch over and over again, but let me see. If I was to pick one, I think it's The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Dark Knight Rises does a lot more for me than Part 1 and Part 2. Yeah.
Part 1 and Part 2 is the name of the movie.
So the first one is Batman Begins, the second one is The Dark Knight, then the third one is Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so party messages. Amaka, what are you working on? Like, what should we expect from your side?
I am working on a TV show. It's actually one of the first series I'm creating, solo creating. So that's it's a coming of age TV show. That's all I can.
Okay. Do you have a timeline?
Do I have a timeline? Yeah. I mean, I'm always there writing. So by November, I'll be done. But when it will be shot, I do not know that yet.
Okay.
I'm just a writer.
Yeah. So let's say I want to work with you. Well, how can I reach out to you? Do you have social media?
Do you know me?
But my family of listeners don't know you.
My name is Umama Kachikeze. So I made sure that all my social media, and if I don't Google Umama Kachikeze,
we're not going to find another Umama Kachikeze.
No, you won't. Trust me.
You're that unique.
Yes, I mean obviously. But my social media name is Amaka _ Creamy.
Spell Creamy.
What is wrong?
It's not the right. It's not the right Creamy that we need.
Yeah, it's not the English version of Creamy. The French one.
No, start from K.
So you want us to start googling and translating?
Amaka. Should I say Amaka as well?
Is it the French Amaka or the Nigerian?
No, the
Amaka.
Nigerian.
The
Igbo Amaka.
The one that disappoints.
The Nigerian one is Amaka. Oh.
So Amaka _ Cream Me, or Cream, depending on how you want to pronounce it.
Or me, I'll pronounce it Cream.
C-R-1?
Well, no, I do not do the
spell.
Not Cream, de la Cream.
Okay.
C-R-E-M-E.
Really?
Yes.
That's creamy now.
Yes, but that's, I have a social, I have Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. I don't have TikTok, unfortunately.
Mm. Are you sure?
We are old.
You're getting.
Haven't you been doing all those dances on TikTok?
I've been learning the dances, but I do not have a TikTok account.
Okay, last verse, how about you? What are you working on?
Yeah, working on my annual project, my comedy show. And this time around, I'm shooting this edition for Netflix.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's happening on the 29th of October. At the Hilton Transcript Hilton Abuja.
You're doing Netflix?
Yeah, I'm shooting this edition for Netflix.
Cool. Well done.
Thank you.
Yeah. So how can people look at your work? Where can they find you?
Instagram, Loud Voice CFR. YouTube, Loud Voice CFR. Facebook, Twitter, Loud Voice CFR. CFR, Comedian at the Federal Republic. That's Loud Voice CFR. Only on Facebook, Loud Voice Comedy.
Okay.
No TikTok.
TikTok, Loud Voice CFR, but I hardly do it. I can't even dance to save your life.
Okay.
But wait, before we go, do you think Bad Mons will have a TikTok account?
I can imagine.
Like, I can see Bad Mons. Like, Charlie will send him to go do something, but meanwhile. He saw me doing learning TikTok dance.
This movie should have a part 2.
It will be the mother.
This movie should really have a part 2.
They're waiting for him. They don't know he saw me with his phone tripod, that's it.
It will be Batman's mother that has the login details.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you finish up like,
mommy,
I want to
post for
you.
Okay, Frederick, how about you?
For
your Nollywood career, like, what are you working on next?
Well, the next Charlie and the Boys.
Don't you want to be our go-to Scandinavian when, you know, they are casting for Scandinavians in Nollywood? Are you open to that?
Of course. Of course, okay. I'm open to it.
All right.
Seller, you'll be my manager.
Okay.
So you contact via Seller at... I don't have a TikTok either.
Really?
Yeah, I can't dance.
So where can people find you? Like, what's your social media?
I think my Instagram is at FSKOG.
Okay.
But that's about it.
All right. Okay. And now back to me. So the next project I'll be working on is a short film for festivals. But yeah, I'm also very passionate about, you know, filmmaking and the Abuja filmmaking scene. So I think I'll be launching some kind of community for filmmakers, you know, and also for film lovers, so film club kind of stuff. But yeah, just follow me at SelleGodFilm and you get all these updates as they come. Be expecting a lot from me next year. I think 3 projects from my own stables. You know, if you want to contact me, I'm open to working with people, you know. So yeah, that's that. Thank you, people.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And yeah, have a nice one. Peace out.
Peace out.
We have come to the end of this episode. Remember to rate and review the podcast. You can also follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at SelleGodFilm and the podcast at the Niger Film Pod to share your feedback. You can now support the podcast by visiting the website to donate. See you on the next episode. Have a good one.